Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is David Chow. And Brother Leland Baker and I, you know, we will fellowship and we'll have some testimonies afterwards. And let's turn to page 48. We're on the morning session number 2, message 2. Let's read the general title, subject title together. Participating in the Lord's move on the campuses. Amen. Participating in the Lord's move. If we realize that we are in what stage we're in, we're actually in the final stage of the Lord's move. And even the ultimate stage of the Lord's move. The general title, the subject of this training is the Lord's coming. You know, we know the Lord's coming as seen from the last night, the promises in the Bible. And tonight we'll see from all the signs of his, you know, consummation of this age. You know, he is coming. It's for sure. It's imminent. And he definitely will return, right? And today, the Lord Christ, as revealed in Revelation, he is the sevenfold intensified spirit, right? For his move, the consummate ultimate move in Revelation, right, to bring in God's kingdom, right? So he is the third stage, the final stage of the full ministry of Christ. So he has intensified his organic salvation. Okay, all that we know, but there's a big but. Why has he tallied or delayed? What is keeping him? Or what does it take for the Lord to return in our time? If we see from all the signs, consummation of the age, we know his return. He's returning. And the brothers, a lot of brothers would say, you know, the Lord's recovery has been 90 years. 30 years, 2252, Brother Lee. Right? Then Brother Lee, of course, continue. He's the divine seer of the revelation, Brother Lee, and Brother Lee is a continuation, a further development. And today, you know, we are at the 90th year. Every 30 years, if we're here to serve a priest, 25, learning, 30, 30 to 50, you know, about 20, 25, 30 years of serving. You look at the service, right? So actually, the burden of the Lord's coming rests upon your shoulders. Amen. It is, you know, yes, hopefully we'll be ratchet, right? Let's keep healthy. Let's get exercise. But it is maybe in this generation, you are the generation that will bring the Lord back. So what does it take? What does it take? Is the Lord's mercy that we... Well, some are born in the recovery. So how many grew up in the church life? Raise up your hands. Amen. Okay. How many came, in the recovery later? Yeah, I was one of them, right? I mean, we, by the Lord's mercy, we're here. So what is the Lord's recovery? What is the Lord's recovery? So I want to say this. There are four pillars or three aspects of the Lord's recovery. T, truth, life, or the gospel. Of course, truth, life is one thing. It's a person. The Lord said, I am the way, the reality, and the life. So actually, it is a person. Truth, life, and the gospel. Truth and life, right? The church is a pillar and base of the truth, right? All of our experiences of life has to be based on the truth. Without the truth, that's but the leading and heal. You know, give us a burden on the pursuing of the truth. Truth, life, and the gospel, right? The gospel, actually, the content of the gospel is the high peak of the divine revelation. So truth, we can say, had come up to the high peak of the divine revelation. Concerning life, what is it? GML. God, man, living. And concerning the gospel, we have GOW. Or shepherding according to God. Okay. So you can see, as far as the truth, we have come up to the high peak. That's why, you know, we need to be constituted. The summer training, he'll get into that. I won't go. But why am I talking about, okay, this? Because all of this, how can it practically, I would say, what's VG? Is practice and carry out in the vital groups. That's the title. So you have to realize that what is the vital groups? But at least there's no other way. Okay, I have a lot of quotes, but I don't even have time to read it from the urgent the fellowship concerning the urgent need of the vital group, the formula of vital group, what is a vital group, what does it do? And these actually is the line. So in the morning session, actually, the first line is that we need to have a personal, intimate time with the Lord, right? And we need to deal with growing life and deal with our spirits. So in the experience of life, there are four stages. Four stages, if you talk about the matter of life, right? Four stages of growth in life. Not only we're baptized, we believe in the Lord, we're in Christ, right? But we need Christ abiding in us, we need to abide in Him. And then a lot of dealings and it's the second line that we have, right? Tomorrow we're going to be dealing with our conscience, how we're dealing with our natural disposition. All of that is for actually God's building. It's to bring the Lord back in every aspect. And this actually we're on this line, right? God's move in a sense in the college campuses, but it's within this context. Oh, we're practicing the God-ordained way, right? So the God-ordained way, BNPB in, you know, beginning, nourishing, perfecting, building. That's what we're doing in the churches, right? But all of this I put together is hinged and based upon the vital groups. Because the vital groups are the producing the overcomers. That's what we're doing to bring the Lord back. We need the overcomers, right, to bring the Lord back. And the vital group is not an activity. It is not something you do. It's not a method. You need to, be constituted with the high peak of the divine revelation. And need to live not only an individual God-man living, but a corporate God-man living. So the perfected, okay, corporate God-man are the vital groups. They are the Zion on Jerusalem. And then with that, see, all this, it could be practiced. Then you can, this is where we are. Practice whatever you go on campus, right? So the key, okay, how long do I have? 5 minutes? 6 or 7 minutes, okay. Please raise up your hand when it's 10 minutes. Okay, I only have 10 minutes, okay. And so the key is here. Let's read together, okay. Pursuing Christ with companions. Okay, I'll just read one paragraph by Brother Lee. Today in the recovery, we need to go on and on to reach the high peak of God's economy. That is Mount Zion. Jerusalem is built on the top of a mountain. Although Jerusalem is good, it is not the peak. In Jerusalem, okay, there is a peak, that is Mount Zion, on which the temple was built, okay. About 1,000 years before the building of the temple, God asked Abraham to offer, okay, I skipped that part, okay, Isaac, and another name for Mount Zion. Okay. The good situation in the recovery today is just like Jerusalem. However, there's no Zion. In the New Testament, the overcomers are likened to Zion. In Revelation 14:1, the 144,000 overcomers are not just in Jerusalem, but they are on the peak of Zion. The overcomers, the vital groups, are today's Zion. My burden today is to help you to reach the peak of the vital groups. That is the overcomers' Zion. Okay. Although we have a good church life, okay, etc. So anyway, I'll stop here. So don't look at the companion. We use the word companion. Don't belittle. Okay. I could have a companion, or I could. I don't need a companion. I'm doing fine. I'm a good boy. My parents asked me to get good grades. I get good grades. Or I could be a bad boy. I don't want to study. I don't care who you are. I'm fine by myself. Me, I'm for me, myself, my future, everything. But I'm just hitting a burden. But we need the vital groups. In this terminology, we need a companion. No one, okay, I'm telling you, no one can make it alone. Don't think you can do it, okay? Stage four, fourth stage, experience of life. If you want to participate in spiritual warfare, remember, image dominion, image dominion. Bridal army, right? That's us, right? Who are we? The bridal army, right? We have God's image. We love him. We live him out. And we what? We pray, right? We go out, right? We pray to bind and loose in the vital groups. And we go and possess the land. Bridal army. Amen. Hallelujah. Image dominion. That's what the vital group is. That's who we are. Of course, we're at different levels, but it all begins with there is something you need to see. If there's self, there's no body. When there's the body, there's no self. When we talk about companionship, you touch the vision, the principles of the body. Okay, so we're touching something deep here. In its principles, right? It touches ourself. On the fourth stage in growth in life, in order even to see the body, to participate in the spiritual warfare, we have to have the breaking of the outer man. But how do I break myself? How do I crucify myself? He needs his roommate. I need my roommate and a little crosses children. Okay. Okay. So I still remember that day when Brother Lee fellowship about the urgent need. He asked me, David, how do you serve? So I began saying, okay, I go morning. I do this, that. I go on campus. I do this and that. No, but he keep asking, how do you serve? How do you serve? Okay, I just want to answer. He said, who are you married to? Up to today, that's my problem. I'm married to nobody. I mean to me, myself. No. Who are you married to? That means he doesn't care what you do, but do I have companion? Do I have the sense I need somebody else? Okay, so I'll stop here. Let's go through the Roman numerals. One, okay, all together. The principles of God's people is that you should be grouped together in twos or threes. Hence, we need to be grouped together with some companions. Okay, brothers and sisters taking turns. Brothers, A. Sisters, B. Okay, so if you don't have a companion, pray and be desperate. Say, I need a companion. Right? Lord, even I cannot find one. Bring me in contact with the one whom you choose. But I want to also make a point here. Sometimes it's the Lord's choosing, not my choosing. Sometimes, this is not one. Too spiritual. Too early. Okay. The Lord definitely will bring you someone, maybe your roommate, maybe someone you're close by, maybe a new one. So don't pick and choose yourself. But pray about the Lord will bring someone to you. Okay. Brothers, see. Okay, what do? Let's come together. Fellowship, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of the new ones. Again, what do together? Fellowship, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of new ones. Okay, D, sisters. Okay, go and read the urgent need. There's talk about much and thorough fellowship with the Lord. 21 items that you need to confess. What is the first item concerning a vital group? Huh? No. Individualism. Okay, notice, okay, we're talking about the companion. The first thing you come together you pray desperately to the Lord. Yes, we have all the dealing. But all that dealing will, because the life we have is the body life. It's not a hermit life. I'm a hermit. Yeah, I forgot the song. You know, I love to be hermit. No. The life will bring us Lord. The first thing the Lord bring up to a point, I cannot be alone. I'm so individualistic. Everything's for me, my, and myself, and I. I don't know how many other terms. Okay, so this is the first item. And when you come to the much and thorough fellowship and prayer to get to know one another, you had to break through. I find even serving the Lord full time, you know, and some serve with me, the full timer. It's so hard for two brothers to be together. They're so macho. They're so strong. Well, I'm not willing to open to you. I won't let you know my weaknesses. Sisters are easy. Oh, you cry over, you know. Okay, that maybe too far. Take the cross, okay. Salt, okay. Frankincense, okay. Resurrection. Not the whole picture of the dough. I don't go into it, okay. But brothers, learn to open yourself up to one another. Okay, Romans 2. My time is up, I think. Okay, that's all together. A, as companions, being grouped together, we first should come together to be blended. In order to know each other, okay, pay attention, thorough and intimate way, but not with honey. Okay, okay, okay. Hey, brothers. Okay, so know each other and be sisters. Right, C.
After opening to one another concerning our present situation, we should pray for one another. The way to be blended is by much and thorough prayer.
Okay, three more. P, fellowship and coordination. Prayer, fellowship, coordination. Whole thing, I don't want to go into it. So what did you get together? Pray, fellowship, and coordinate. Okay, so the nature of the vital groups being spiritual. But the condition? Love, and I'm missing one. Goal, being what? Food bearing. Okay, that's it, okay. Okay, prayer, fellowship, coordinate. Nature, spiritual, not. Bonding, you know, whatever love you have, okay, but the condition of love. Without, when we love one another, the world will know that we are His disciples. You know, going to John 15, all that, love one another. Okay, so I'll just read the last paragraph for the lead, and I finish. Okay, how about forming a group? In forming a group, the first step is to get a companion. Okay, how many of you? Have a companion. Okay, so I only see half. Okay, that means half. Okay, maybe you're shy. Are you my companion or not? Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, just be with them. Okay, are you my live companion? Don't worry about it. Just get a companion. Okay, okay. Don't think too much. Okay, okay. In forming a group, the first step is to get a companion. Okay, the second step is to pray together and fellowship together in order to know each other. In a thorough and intimate way, that you may pray, Lord, what is the next step that you want us to take? When you ask the Lord such a question, I assure you that He will not tell you to go out and visit people. What do you mean? He will not tell you. Okay. I say this is based upon my study of the new way in the past 7.5 years. If you meet with your companion last night, and you meet together again in the morning, the first thing to do is to let your companion know what happened to you between last night and this morning. Maybe you had a bad dream, quote unquote. Okay. In this way, you and your companions maintain a thorough knowledge of each other. As a result, you become one, and the real love and care for will come in between you. The Lord may then lead you to get 4 or 5 additional companions. Then He talk about making a list and so on and so forth. So I'll stop here. So first of all, do we need a companion?
Yes.
Yes. And well, get a companion. And second, have much and thorough fellowship and prayer. And we have some testimonies later on. And the best way is to be in a corporate living, but it's our decision.
The goal of this title is pursuing Christ with companions. So the focus is gathering together with companions, even in twos and threes. But the goal is pursuing Christ. Pursuing Christ is the goal. And many problems among many Christians exist because different Christians have different goals. So what's the goal of this title? Pursue Christ. Amen. What's the goal of this training? For what purpose? To gain him and to bring him back. Right? How about your Christian life? What's your goal? Yeah. Some make their goal self-edification, increase in knowledge, self-perfection, to be the top evangelist or just be a role model in society, have a great following, be the best at verse memorization, acquire more religious zeal. But our goal must be to pursue Christ with the view of gaining Christ.
Amen.
That's why we have companionships. Paul says in Philippians 3 that he pursued Christ, right? And then he said, just like in the song we sang before this meeting, have this mind. Have this mind to do what? Pursue Christ with the view of gaining Christ. The word in Greek for pursue is persecute. Persecute. No lazy person can be a good persecutor because you don't care and you're lazy. There's no way to lay hold with strength. Okay, so if we don't have strength, we need companions so that we can have strength to lay hold of him. If we have a good individual pursuit, we still need companions because your companions need your portion. They need your pursuit. A.W. Tozer, famous Christian, says the impulse to pursue God originates with God. In other words, he's the source of your pursuing. It's by his drawing power. But the outworking of that impulse is our following hard after him. That's persecution. To persecute Christ, lay hold of Christ, follow hard after him with the view of gaining him. And with who? Paul's word in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the youthful lusts, everything else, and pursue with who? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, right? So, Roman numeral 3. This is what Daniel did in the Old Testament. We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. This is the pursuit of Christ with our companions. Daniel, after he'd heard the news that the king was making a decree to slay all the wise men, he made the matter known to his companions. And they petitioned the God of compassion to do what? To save them from being destroyed. Daniel, no doubt, was a man who turned the age by means of his prayer. And he had set scheduled times where he was facing Jerusalem with open windows, on his bended knees, in faith, praying for the Lord's interest. 3 times a day. But I don't know if he could have had the kind of success that he did without his companions. His life might have been destroyed, and he wouldn't have thus been able to carry out God's purpose. The prayer in harmony of 2 or 3 persons is powerful because whenever they are gathered together in the Lord's name, the Lord is there. This is the reason for their harmony. Notice that they're gathered in verse 20, Matthew 18. The 2 and 3s are gathered into the Lord's name. That means the Lord is gathering us into his name. And we should pray for companions so that the Lord might gather us with those whom he desires to couple us with. The meetings of the believers are initiated by the Lord, and they are called out of all kinds of matters, all kinds of persons, and things that occupy them, to gather them into his name, to enjoy the riches of his life. This is why we're gathered together. When we're gathered together in twos and threes, what does it say? There am I in their midst. The Lord is there, his very presence. And this is the factor that causes the twos and threes to be powerful. They're one in the presence of the Lord, and they're given the authority, not because they're powerful in themselves, but the authority from God is given to them, even to bring people under the subjection of the divine rule, even to bring persons under the ruling of God. It's a kingdom matter. In twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. Okay, we see from Matthew 12, the strong man is Satan, right? His house is his kingdom. His goods are fallen people who have fallen under Satan's usurpation and are used by Satan for his purpose. So the Lord says, what do we need to do first in order to plunder his house and acquire his possessions? We have to first bind the strong man. Bind him. And then we can plunder his house and repossess the vessels that were created in the image of God to contain him for God's purpose. And we can do this. The prayer of two or threes recovers and gains the sinning brother. I like this recently from 1 John 5:16. Even in our asking concerning a brother who is sinning, yet not sinning a sin unto death, by praying for him and asking for him, we can give life to that brother. Amen. This is the ministry of life that takes place through prayer, even with our companions. We shouldn't give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers, touching heaven and binding and releasing in harmony. We need to really realize that we can't bind and loose on earth anything that hasn't been bound and loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing in the twos and threes on earth depends upon whether it's been bound or loosed in heaven. And in being joined to the Lord, one with his mind, his feeling, and his intention, we together can pray binding and loosing prayers, binding the things of evil, the principalities of evil, Satan himself, and loose the things of the kingdom of God for the glory of God. When we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There's no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, and expound the scriptures to the Lord. Have you ever done this? Have you ever taught the Lord in your prayers? But you don't understand. This is really how it is. You know, I need to teach you. It's ridiculous. The Lord at the end of Mark 10 and Luke 18, there's a blind beggar. Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay, so then he asks, what do you want me to do for you? All you need to do is just tell me and I'll do it. And he does it. Okay, so we have testimonies. A couple of sisters from New York to come on up and to give their testimony to reinforce this point of gathering together in twos and threes, pursuing Christ together, and seeing the power and impact of prayer. This is Crystal Hung and Esther Hung.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So,
praise the Lord.
My name name is Crystal, and I just finished my freshman year at Stony Brook University. And last year, me and a brother and a sister came to the college training and saw that we need a nucleus in the campuses. So we were like, we should build up a nucleus, because Stony Brook is a bit far from the nearest church meetings. So we started praying over the summer with some of the serving ones and some serving ones who are in Stony Brook. And we were like, oh, Lord, just help us to be a good nucleus and to be companions to each other in the school year. And when the school year came, we pretty much just hung out with each other. And we were companions to each other in the Lord, but also just in, like, regular college things like homework, classes. We were there to kind of, like, support each other. And we were afraid at first that, because Stony Brook, it's kind of easy to just fall out of the church life. But we were kind of like lifelines to each other, and we just kind of held each other together, held each other in the Lord. And the brother came, and he had a burden for one of his friends. So we would just get together and pray and pray. And finally, he came to our meetings, and now he's a dear brother who's part of our companionship, one of our lifelines. And we just kept praying, and more brothers and more friends came in. And this one guy that was brought in by one of my friends, he got saved in our meetings and through our prayer, and eventually got baptized at her house. And it was just a really enjoyable experience to have these companions to really just help you through these prayers. And when we got together, we would just have lunch together and pray for whatever was each of our situations, like a final or a friend that we had a burden for, or just whatever small thing. And we just really got together in the Lord and held each other together.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for what's been done in Stony Brook. I actually don't go to Stony Brook, but a couple of the saints, including me, we would drive to Stony Brook. It would be like an hour, and we would go to the home meetings on Friday to support the students there. But you can just tell, you can just see that the college training really does work. Praise the Lord. There's one student who went to the college training in the East Coast, and then two came to the Midwest who were going to Stony Brook. And they were just, it's just so wonderful. They were so burdened for their campus. And even the students who were meeting before, who were in the church life, but they stopped meeting when they went to Stony Brook, it was a real encouragement to them. And actually, I remember during my group time, I was like praying for a spiritual companion, because I actually didn't have one. And I remember crying, because, yeah, I get emotional, but I was praying with another serving one. And I just, of course, I would hope to have, my dream is to have someone from who graduate full-time training and serving full-time, take care of me, you know, will like do everything. But then, you know, that wasn't the Lord's arrangement. What happened was, when I went to the home meeting, one of the sisters who used to meet and then started meeting again, she just said to me, we were sitting next to each other, do you want to pray? And I said, amen. So we started praying just once a week, and then eventually twice a week, and then every day. And I just remember in the morning, when I would be driving to clinical, we would just pray. And I realized that I needed her. A lot of times I like to be independent, and I like to think that I can do everything in myself. But, oh, Lord, the Lord placed us in the body, right? Like the brother David shared, how that we're in a bridal army, right? It's not just a bridal person, but a bridal individual, but it's an army. So I realized that I needed, in order for me to take care of her, in order for her to take care of me, we needed to pursue the Lord, right? And she would always have questions for me. So then I realized I need to be prepared before I go to her, before I call her. But I just appreciate that we really do need companions. And if you don't have one, we just need to go before the Lord and just pray desperately.
Amen.
One thing I forgot is that we have a home meeting. We established a home meeting at the sister's house Friday nights. So every Thursday at 7 o'clock, we would set aside a time. We would have a conference call with the sister's mom, who's like our only serving one in Stony Brook right now, the three of us freshmen, and some serving ones from New York. And we would just pray for the Lord to be with us in the meeting, and to continue his move in Stony Brook, and to just keep leading and opening more hearts for us to get to.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Hallelujah.
Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
We need to pursue the full knowledge of the truth. And I hope for us this wouldn't be an also point. I need to also pursue the truth. I need to also come to the full knowledge of the truth and put it on the back burner or to make it secondary. It's essential for our going on, for our growing in life, for the body to come into full realization, and for the Lord to return. Pontius Pilate asked, "What is truth?" How would you answer him today? We know from the scriptures that, first of all, the truth is a person. John 8:32 says, "The truth shall set you free." John 8:36, the Lord says, "If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." So what's the freeing factor? The truth or the Son of God? The answer is, good answer. The answer is yes. The Son of God is the truth that sets us free. His truth is a person, and the Lord verifies this also in John 14:6. I am the truth. Right? Further, in John 17:17, the Lord prays to the Father that we would be sanctified in truth. And then he says, "Your word, Father, is truth." So the Father's word is also truth. And everything that's real, that's revealed to us through the scriptures, is the reality, the divine reality of the gospel. And the reality of the gospel especially concerns the person of Christ and the church. Concerning the person, we need to know that he's God. He's deity. He's divine. Yet he's man. He's finite. He's fine. He's human. Right? And also, this one in his human living expressed God. The divine attributes were expressed through his human virtues. And then he accomplished an all-inclusive redemption with the divine power in his being, in the flesh, for who? Us, is exactly right. For sinners, that he might impart the divine life into them and bring them into an organic union with God. We need to know that. In 2nd and 3rd John, you know, John, even in his Gospels, his 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistles, speaks a lot about truth, especially in 2nd and 3rd. In the 3rd epistle, he says, "I have no greater joy than this, that my children are walking in truth." Walking in truth doesn't only mean that we believe in the truth, we live in it. We're constituted with the truth. We know the truth, and we live the truth out in reality, in our living, for people to see. I have no greater joy than this, he says. Further, we need to know that the truth is concerned very much with the church, that all of us who have believed into the truth have been regenerated as sons of God. We are the church, the members of his one body. Even as the church, you remember what Paul calls us in 1 Timothy 3:15? The church is the pillar and base of philanthropy. Pillar and base of work. Pillar and base of religious zeal. Pillar and base of acting perfect. Pillar and base of the truth. So what's the implication from this epistle? 1 Timothy highly emphasizes this, that every saved person have a full knowledge, a complete realization of these things. Because we are the pillars and base of the truth, that means we hold the truth, we bear the truth, we testify to the truth. What does that imply? It implies that we have truth, that we're constituted with truth. So I like Proverbs 23:23. To get truth, what do you need to do? It says we need to buy. Pay the price to buy truth and do not sell it. In 2 Timothy, it stresses that we also as workmen need to cut straight the word of the truth. That's 2:15. As workmen, we cut straight the word of the truth. We need to know what it's saying and to teach it, unfold it correctly. And those who oppose, this is 2:25, may repent unto the full knowledge of the truth. What does this say? This says that those who oppose need to repent to come to the full knowledge of the truth, just like I quoted it, right? This implies that those who oppose lack knowledge of the truth. Either they don't know the truth, don't understand the truth, or don't have an adequate amount of the truth. And these are the ones that cause divisions and need to repent that they might have a chance to come to the full knowledge of the truth, that we might have fellowship together. Knowing the truth helps us to deal with the church's decline in a situation of degradation. Degradation comes about, as we said, because of the lack of truth. Even the bringing in of heretical teachings. Knowing the truth allows godliness to be lived out. Godliness, as was pointed out earlier, is a matter of the divine realities that have been constituted into us to be expressed. Being constituted with the truth allows this to happen. And according to John 17, it causes us to be sanctified. That is, separated from the world and all things common unto God for his holy purpose. Not only so, it means that we're saturated with the element and nature of God, which is holiness, to make us the same as he is in life and nature. In Ephesians 5, the bride that's prepared and presented to the Lord glorious. What's the factor that makes her glorious and prepared? It is the previous verse. She's been sanctified by the washing of the water of God's word, which is truth, to make us the same as he is and to produce us as his counterpart. This is what he's coming for. So it's pretty important. Not only this, from Ephesians 4, we see that the truth causes us to grow up into the head, into him, in all things. And out from our growing up into him, the head, comes the growth of the body, the building of the body, the realization and expression of the body. Isn't that also the factor that causes the Lord to return? Yes. Okay, so we say all this because getting into the truth is important. And we need to get into the truth individually, in twos and threes, as the church, corporately. This involves going to conferences, retreats, and trainings, right? How do we get into the truth? Read it! You can't know the truth unless you read the Bible. And read the ministry. So there's all kinds of methods and ways to talk about. But guess what the point is? I'm looking around for shoes. Probably no one has these shoes on now. I don't think. Maybe they do. Nike. Anyone know their slogan? Just do it. We should just do it, right? We can read quickly. We can read slowly. We can have a reading schedule. Did you know there's a 2-year schedule on the back of the Holy Word for morning revival? You can read through the recovery version with the footnotes in 2 years. Not bad. You can go quicker, too. But if that's your pace, just go that pace. You can read consecutively. You can read in sections. You can read by subject. You can read in parts. You can even listen to the ministry. How many messages are now available online for us to listen to? To buy truth. Amen. To be constituted with truth. Amen. Pray. As we're reading, as we're listening, we should pray. The Lord Himself is light, and He can shine on the divine facts, convey them into our being to make them real to us through faith. And when we experience them, they become life to us. Their becoming real to us is related to truth. Our experience of them is related to life. And with our renewed mind, we can apprehend what it is we're realizing. That's to come to the full knowledge of the truth. But it has to happen through prayer. Study. Don't be afraid to use your mind. First, we need to drink, no doubt. Use your spirit, exercise, to drink, and then think. Not think and then drink, but drink and then think. That's for digestion. Recite it and then prophesy. Speak what's gotten into you. Okay? That's all. Now we have some testimonies from sisters from Canada, Toronto, Montreal. Come on up. We want to hear from you.
My name is Megan, and I go to school in Montreal at McGill University, and I just finished my first year there. And like the brother was saying, sometimes we try to do things ourselves, and we think we can do it. But the Lord created, the Lord's purpose for people is that they would be in twos and threes, right? Not individuals, but a group, a corporate group. And so growing up, I did have siblings, but there's a big age gap between us. So for a long time, I was kind of like an only child, but I acted like one in the house. But so I was so used to having my own room, and it's just me in the house. It's my mom, of course. But then the Lord set it up that I would stay in the sister's house when I went to school in Montreal. So it was new for me to be living in a house with 6 other sisters, where you don't always have your own space and personal time. But that was really good, and it was really sovereign of the Lord, because I think I had a really good experience this past year with having these twos and threes. One thing that I want to share was that one way we pursued the Lord together was through gospel preaching. And a lot of the times I wasn't in my spirit, but I told myself I need to force myself to go to the spirit. Well, the Lord needs to bring me to the spirit. So what I did was I asked another sister, Laura, to say, I told her that I wanted to go gospel preaching, even though I didn't really want to go gospel preaching. But I told her I did, so I asked her to, let's set a date to go gospel preaching, and then we'll go. And because I set that up with her, I can't say no anymore, because I already told her that we were going to go. So, like, okay, forcing myself to go gospel preaching. But that was really the Lord working, because when we went gospel preaching together, it really brought me back into the spirit. And it built us up together more. Maybe not every time, maybe we didn't bring someone to get saved, but it saved me first, like we were talking about before. You can really experience the power of the gospel. And if you try to do that by yourself, it's not going to work. It's because I was with another sister. It was because we prayed together before we went out. And that's what I really enjoyed. And the second thing was that with companions, you really have someone to pray for. What's on your heart? What's on the Lord's heart? Sometimes we want to pray for our own things, but then when you're with someone else, even the Lord's burden comes through. And as a house, we were able to pray together Saturday morning sometimes, and also Sunday nights we'd come together. And I think that was really sweet, because it allowed us to be built up as companions in the Lord, not only having an earthly relationship, but a spiritual one.
My name is Rebecca. I'm from Montreal. I graduated recently. I also feel like it was a big privilege to live in a sister's house and to be built up with the sisters that I live with. Oh, closer? Like that? Oh, okay. Okay. And two things that I really appreciate the most. The first one is that we're pursuing together. And it's with those. It's not by yourself. You're not pursuing and fleeing by yourself. It's with those. And I really enjoyed just even practically realizing that our personal enjoyment of Christ is for your companion. It's for the ones you are pursuing with. And just a small practical example of that is, like, on the weekends we have corporate morning revival together, and I just realized that I need to get up before corporate morning revival so that I touch the Lord, so that I'm in my spirit before corporate morning revival. Because sometimes my spirit doesn't always work right away, you know. Sometimes it's the gateway is our heart. So sometimes you need to deal with things, and you can't do that with the other sisters. So even just that, living with sisters and seeing them all the time, being, you know, having a roommate, just it's sanctifying. It motivates you to pursue the Lord individually as well. And the second thing I really appreciated was that when you pray with twos and threes, you pray for people that are on your heart, for your gospel friends, for the new contacts, just for people, your classmates. It's great to pray together, but there's also a practical aspect is that when you have a companion, your practical capacity to care for new ones really increases. And for us, I feel like it's a big blessing because we've been able to open our apartment to so many people. And even, I think, hardly a week goes by when we don't have new ones or contacts coming to our home. And all the practical things, it's not a burden. It's, you know, you need to, when you have someone over, you need to cook, you need to clean, you need to get the groceries. But just having the companions living with the sisters, it's not a burden. It's really a blessing.
Amen. Amen. It's really a blessing to have companions. One of the aspects I appreciate about living with the sisters is our house time on Lord's Day evening. And that's the time for the whole house to come together and get into the ministry and just pursue the Lord in a corporate way. And even though we have twos and threes within the house, it's really important for all of us to come together to pursue the Lord in a corporate way. And even Brother was sharing, it's a price. You have to pay a price to buy the truth. And we all have things to do. The students have studying. I'm serving. But when we set aside this time, the Lord really blesses it. And we gain something. We are blended together more. And I really appreciate the prayer together, because although we can get along fine naturally, for the most part, that's not really the oneness. That isn't the oneness. The oneness comes through praying, and that's how we really blend together. So I just appreciate, we do need to set aside times to be gathered into the Lord's name, to pursue Him together.